To pick up where we left off last week, but by way of introduction, if you've never been here, that's also fine. We discussed last week and 2 weeks ago the concept of Tchiyas HaMeisim and Yemos HaMashiach. So the pattern that we established is that there is a four-stage process in this world. We begin with Olam Hazeh, this world. Post Olam Hazeh, there's something called Yemos HaMashiach. Post Yemos HaMashiach is Tchiyas HaMeisim, and following Tchiyas HaMeisim is Olam Haba. Tonight's discussion is going to deal with Olam Haba, which piggybacks, according to most Rishonim, and that's going to be a topic of discussion tonight, Tchiyas HaMeisim. Let's first get a sense about Olam Haba, what Olam Haba is. Define the term Olam Haba, because I know there is a lot of misconception. It's a word that we use very commonly. It's a word that exists in Tarsha Baal Peh very, very heavily. And I like to start by quoting the Rambam. The Rambam can be found in the 8th chapter of Hilchos Tshuva. The Rambam has two chapters which he devotes and dedicates to Olam Haba. As I mentioned last week, the Rambam at length describes, discusses, and details Yemos HaMashiach in Hilchos Malachim. The Rambam in detail describes Olam Haba, but as I mentioned last week, we understood last week, that the Rambam has very minimal discussion about Tchiyas HaMeisim, two, three words and a sentence about Tchiyas HaMeisim, which we know very little about. But Olam Haba, the Rambam has chapters about. He deals with it at great length in his introduction to Perek Chelek, which I've been using a lot. But I want to start by quoting two halachos in the Rambam, Perek Ches of Hilchos Tshuva, Halachos Zayin and Ches. And the Rambam writes as follows: V'kama David hisave l'chaye Olam Haba. David HaMelech anxiously and with bated breath had a tremendous desire for Olam Haba. Shenemar lulei ha'amanti liros betuv Hashem Eretz Chaim. The Rambam writes, God, and this is a chapter we're all familiar with, as the Rambam writes, this is in L'Davar Hashem Orev Ishi, the 21st paragraph, chapter of Psalms, that God desired and asked and deemed and willed, says David, to see Eretz HaChaim, the good life. What is that good life? The Rambam understands that to mean Olam Haba. Says the Rambam, Kfar hodi'unu, chachameinu harishonim, shetovas ha'olam haba, the next world, the good of the next world, ein koach ba'adam lahasig al briya, nobody can touch it, we can't fathom what the next world is going to look like. Ein koach ba'adam lahasig al briya, clearly, vein yodea god lov yofya v'atzma l'kadosh baruch levado. And we do not know what the next world is going to be like at all. So this is very much in contradistinction to what we discussed till now. Yemos HaMashiach, the Messianic days, we have a lot of information. We have facts about it. What is going to happen? We don't know who the Messiah is, but we know there's going to be a Messiah. It's going to come. We know where he's going to stem from. We know who his ancestors were, and we know what dynasty he's going to come from. That we discussed at length the first week. Tchiyas HaMeisim, resurrection, we said we have no idea about it, besides for the fact that it's a miraculous event, that a body which is decomposed is going to come back to life. That's something that's beyond our comprehension. Olam Haba seems to be two different things happening at the same time. We can't describe it, we can't explain it, but we know it exists. It's almost similar, the way I like to think about it and to describe it, is similar to a fetus, an embryo. So if you're inside of a mother's womb, so you can't fathom or imagine that there's going to be something post the embryo. It's not something that we could talk about. That's not something that's tangible. It's not a reality. But then there is something that exists after. To describe in this world that there's going to be something that takes place after is something that we can't do. It's not, we can't touch it, you can't see it, you can't look at it. As David HaMelech says, nobody ever, and God never describes, details, reveals what is going to take place and what the next world looks like. Amru Chachamim, the Rambam quotes, Kol ha-Nevi'im kulan lo nisnabu elo Yemos HaMashiach. All of the prophecies that exist in Tanakh, in the Nevi'im, and the Ksuvim discuss a lot about Mashiach, the Messiah. Aval ha'olam haba ayin lo rasa elhim zulzecha. The next world nobody's ever seen, nobody's talked about. There's no scriptures that deal with olam haba, not in the Torah, not in the Nevi'im, not in the Ksuvim. It's not discussed. It's not something that's mentioned or talked about, and I'll speak about that at the end, why that's the case. So the first fact that we have about Olam Haba, it's something that we don't know. It's something that's not tangible. It's something that's not physical. It's something that we have no details about. It's something that no eye has ever seen. No individual has ever revealed. God never discussed it and talked about it, but we know it is something and it's there. On the other hand, Rambam, Maimonides, also writes as follows. Don't think that I'm not describing to you what Olam Haba is, mipnei she'enu imatzu ata, because it doesn't exist. It doesn't, it's not here. Don't think that it's some world that is going to come later on. Says the Rambam, that's not the case. Olam Haba is here. It exists. If it exists in this world, so why are we calling it Haba? Haba in Hebrew, that to define is the future. So says the Rambam, it's an inherent dichotomy. If the word Olam Haba means it's coming later, how could it be here? So explains the Rambam. Lo karu olam haba elam pnei she'osan ha'chayim boin lo la'odam achar chayi ha'olam hazeh. Because this light, the world of olam haba, will come post this world, immediately after this world. She'anu kayamim bo beguf nefesh v'zehu hanimtza l'chol adam rishona. That will come after this world. So don't think that it's a world that's supposed to be created. It's a world that is going to come anew and fresh. But it exists here. We just can't see it. We don't know about it. But it exists after post-mortem. That's the Rambam's definition of Olam Haba. So on the one hand, it's something we can't see, we can't describe, we can't touch. But on the other hand, it's here and it exists post this world. That's the position of the Rambam. I'd like to share with you a dissenting opinion. This is the Ravid. The Ravid, classically, Rav Avraham Rav David, one of the great medieval scholars who regularly argues with the position of the Rambam. And here he argues with the Rambam on two points. The first point he raises is that it looks as if the Rambam is denying that the world is going to return after 6,000 years. Remember, we just talked about last week that there's 6,000 years to this world, and post 6,000, there's going to be an Olam Chadash, there's going to be a new world. So the Ravid asks, based upon a Talmudic statement in the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Daf Tzadik Zayin Amud Aleph, Shisa Alfei Havi Alma, the world will exist for 6,000 years, V'char Charuf, and post 6,000, the world will be destroyed. Nimtzeshu Olam Chadash, there's going to be a new world. So the Ravid asks on the Rambam understands that Olam Haba is already here, it exists, we just can't see it. That doesn't follow in line with the Talmudic understanding that the world is going to be destroyed and be created again. So here you have the first point of contention, the first machlokas, controversy between the Rambam and the Ravid as to what is this Olam Haba? Does it exist? Does it not exist? According to Rambam, it exists. We can't touch it. We can't see it. But it's going to exist post-mortem. According to the Ravid says if the Rambam is correct, that means the Rambam doesn't believe that there's going to be something after 6,000 years. How do you square that? That's the first issue, and I will address that and answer that in a moment. But I'd like to share with you first another point of contention that the Ravid has with the Rambam. What is Olam Haba going to look like for us? So the Rambam writes very clearly and articulately exactly what it's going to look like. Ha'olam haba ein bo guf v'gvia. There's no body. The body doesn't exist. Ela nefashos hatzadikim b'lvad. There only is a soul.
This is the Rambam?
This is the Rambam now. Below guf kemalachi hasharis. Every single individual will be like a malach, like an angel. There's no body. Hoyel says the Rambam, ein bo gvios, ve'en bo lo achila v'lo shia. There's not going to be eating. There's not going to be drinking. No physical activity. And none of the ordinary bodily functions that we desire and need are going to exist in Olam Haba. Says the Rambam, there's not going to be sitting and standing and life and death, happiness and sadness and all those items. There's no eating, there's no drinking. The only thing that's going to exist in Olam Haba is everybody is going to have a face-to-face connection with God. We are going to recognize, we're going to understand what the Shekhinah is, what the Shekhinah is about, and we are going to all enjoy and benefit that close relationship that man will have with God. That's the position of the Rambam. There's no body, it's just a soul, and the soul will revel in the pleasure of understanding God, of connecting to God in a way that one cannot in this world.
How do you square that with the Ein Bein Olam Hazeh?
We're going to talk about that. The Ravid disagrees. Again, the second point that the Ravid disagrees with the Rambam, and this is what we just talked about last week, and this is a basic fundamental problem in the philosophy of the Rambam, and this is why we said the Rambam later penned the long letter describing and explaining his position. But the Ravid asks a very pointed question here on the Rambam, on Maimonides, and says, if the Rambam says that there's no body, what happened to Tchiyas HaMesim? Mm-hmm. We discussed a whole shiur last week that there's going to be resurrection. So if the Rambam understands that in Olam Haba there's lo guf v'lo gviya, there's only a nefesh, there's only a soul that's going to reconnect with God, what happened to Tchiyas HaMesim? I'll quote you the language of the Raivad and listen.
Who is the Raivad?
The Raivad's name is Rav Abram Rav David. He is regularly argues on the Rambam. His job, the Rambam wrote the Sefer Yad HaChazaka, and he wrote glosses throughout the Sefer of the Rambam, and he is a regular, regularly argues on a position of the Rambam if he feels that is correct.
Okay, but who is he?
Rav Avram Rav David. He lived in, you want to know when he lived?
Was he such a scholar?
Yes, yes. The Raivad and the Rambam are considered to be basic medieval scholars, and they argued regularly. The Raivad writes, Amr Avram, Divrei ze ha'ish be'enai krovim l'mish omer en tchias ha'mesim l'gufos elon ha'shamos bovad. So the Raivad here has a very, very powerful comment on the Rambam. He says, the words of Maimonides, the Rambam, seem close to somebody who denies Tchiyas HaMesim. Remember what we said last week? Tchiyas HaMesim is a fundamental principle of theology, of Jewish theology, that the Rambam himself supports. And in his 10th of the 13 fundamental principles that Maimonides articulated, he writes that there is Tchiyas HaMesim. But the Raivad himself says, based upon what the Rambam writes, that Olam Haba means that there's going to be no body, no eating, no drinking, all physicality is not going to exist. It's only going to be the soul that's going to revel in a relationship with God. What happened to Tchiyas HaMesim? That is the question that the Raivad posits on the Rambam, and his proof. You can't just argue without a proof. His proof is the Gemara in Ksuvah Staf Kuf Yud Aleph. Asidim tzadikim shiyamdu bilvusheim. Ultimately, the tzadikim, the righteous, will arise in their clothes. So how could it be that the Rambam says there's no body? So there are two machloksim, there are two arguments that exist between the Rambam and the Raivad. Number one, the Rambam seems to understand that Olam Haba is no body, no physicality, it's only a soul. The Raivad disagrees and says, what happened to Tchiyas HaMesim? Argument number one. Argument number two. The Rambam understands that the next world, Olam Haba, will be a world that will be completely, totally, fully available to us now. We just don't see it, we can't touch it, it's not tangible. But at the end of the day, it's here, it exists. The Raivad says, that's impossible, because if it exists, you said, and the Gemara says, that the world is going to be destroyed. Does that mean the Rambam understands that there's not going to be a world post the year 6000? These are two machloksim. I'm going to answer and explain to you how to deal with this controversy between the Rambam and the Raivad based upon a comment of the Kesef Mishnah. The Kesef Mishnah, it was Rav Yosef Kar. Rav Yosef Kar is all familiar, is the author of the Shulchan Aruch. Prior, I believe, to his writing the Shulchan Aruch, he authored the Kesef Mishnah. The Kesef Mishnah is a work that he wrote on Maimonides on the Rambam, and he very regularly tries to deal with a machlokas between the Rambam and the Raivad. And he has a very fundamental way to deal with this, and I think it's a crucial point in terms of understanding Olam Haba. Kesef Mishnah, Rav Yosef Kar says there's no argument. There's no machlokas between the Rambam and the Raivad. And he has
I'm sorry, I wasn't here last week, so maybe... what does the Rambam say about Tchiyas HaMesim?
The Rambam understands... The Rambam writes that there is Tchiyas HaMesim.
Yeah, but what is it?
It's complete. The way we define it is resurrection. The dead will come back to life. The guf, yes, absolutely. The difficulty is that the Rambam writes very, very little back. He doesn't write many words about Olam Haba. In his 13 principles, he says, there is such a thing called Tchiyas HaMesim. I already explained it. He writes two words, Zek Mevur. I already talked about it. Now, if you look back in the earlier pages where the Rambam discusses it, he has one line, and he says something which is very cryptic. As a result of his little comments, his minor commentary about resurrection. And as a result of this comment he makes in Hilchos Tshuva, the world thought that the Rambam has nothing to say about Tchiyas HaMesim, and he denies Tchiyas HaMesim. That forced the Rambam to respond to the Jews of Baghdad, to the Jews of Teman, who were confused and dumbfounded. The Rambam was the great scholar, the great rabbi throughout Egypt, throughout the land of Israel, throughout Babylonia. And the Rambam later penned an entire essay explaining and defending his position that there is Tchiyas HaMesim. That is the Rambam's position, and nobody disagrees. Everybody believes that resurrection is something that exists. But here the Rambam seems to indicate not like that, and that's the Ravid's question on the Rambam. If there's only going to be a soul, so what happened to Tchias HaMeisim? So the Kesef Mishnah explains that there's no machlokas between the Rambam and the Ravid, but rather they're talking about two types of Olam Haba. They're each discussing two forms of Olam Haba. There's Olam Haba number one, which is post-mortem. Man dies, and man goes to what's referred to, and the Kabbalists refer to it, the Mekubalim, as the Olam HaNashamos. It's a way station. The body, the soul leaves the body. The soul goes to what's called an Olam Haba. And in Olam Haba, which is what the Rambam is describing, in that Olam Haba, there's no body. There's only a soul, and the soul only revels in the relationship with God. And that's what the Rambam says at the end of his commentary on Hilchos Tshuva, that it exists, the world is here, it exists right now, we just can't see it. That's the world of Olam Haba that the Rambam is talking about. Mm-hmm. Oh, the Ravid asks, what happens post 6000? What happened to Tchias HaMeisim if there's not going to be a soul? The Ravid is talking about a different Olam Haba. The Ravid is talking about an Olam Haba that's going to take place after Tchias HaMeisim. The world is going to go through four stages. It's going to be Olam Hazeh, this world. It's going to be Tchias HaMeisim, Yemos HaMashiach, the days of the Messiah. Tchias HaMeisim, resurrection. And finally, Olam Haba. The world, when it comes to a complete finale, to the final, to the end of days, that's an Olam Haba post-Tchias HaMeisim, post-resurrection, and post-Yemos HaMashiach, and in that world there's going to be a guf, there's going to be a body, and at the same time, that makes sense with the Ravid's commentary that after 6,000 world years, there's going to be a world, but it's going to be a world where there's a man, and a world where there's going to be a guf, and a world where there's going to be a body. So when we hear the term Olam Haba, and that's a term that's thrown around quite regularly, you have to understand now that there are two understandings of what Olam Haba is, and they're both correct. There's Olam Haba that we often use as a term to describe and to understand what happens to man post-death, that he goes, she goes to Olam Haba, to the next world, and that's a world with no body, it's only a world of souls. Then there's Olam Haba, the end of days. After this world, after the days of Mashiach, after Tchias HaMeisim, there's going to be another world of Olam Haba. That Olam Haba is going to be after the resurrection. The body, it will return to the soul. The soul will reconnect with the body. Then there's going to be Olam Haba. That's the end of days, what will take place following year 6000. That's the presentation that the Kesef Mishnah makes. And that's the understanding of how to deal with the position of the Rambam, position of the Ravid. If there are any questions, this is probably a good place. Yeah.
Okay, so I've always heard that, you know, it's very important if you can't see it in Israel, because if not, they say when Tchias HaMeisim, maybe that's when it comes, that everybody will be coming through wherever they're buried in their graves, that they'll be coming through the earth, and it's supposed to be very, very painful. Everybody comes back to Israel. So where would that be? Would that be the end of days?
So it's more of a halachic question, and I'm happy to talk about it and to address it.
Uh-huh.
There are no sources in what's called Nigla, in the open revealed parts of the Torah that say that you have to be buried in Israel, that you should be buried in mm-hmm. Israel. There are hints and reasons why one should be,
mm-hmm.
And that is for one of the reasons that there are sources that indicate that Tchias HaMeisim, resurrection, begins in Yerushalayim in Har HaZeisim. That's why Har HaZeisim is very much a place that's sought after.
Mm-hmm.
But in terms of the question, should I be buried in Israel? Should I be buried in America?
Not the burial, but they said that when I think it's when Tchias HaMeisim comes, that all the bodies come back through these tunnels underground.
So this is already getting into.
Would that be the end of days?
Yes. So I'm gonna tell you the order of how things work. What exactly happens? That's above my pay grade.
I don't want
to go there. I can only talk really about sources that are in print and are written that I have access to. Mm-hmm. If you're talking about Kabbalah, let me just answer your question.
Yeah.
In terms of the organization, the chronology
mm-hmm.
that exists, there is something called Olam Hazeh, that's the world we're in.
Right.
Next comes Yemos HaMashiach,
mm-hmm.
next comes Tchias HaMeisim.
Right.
The end of Yemos HaMashiach is going to be when Tchias HaMeisim takes place, the
uh-huh.
resurrection of the dead, and then comes Olam Haba.
Mm-hmm.
That's the chronology of events.
Okay.
How, where, we have very little information
uh-huh.
as I discussed last week.
Can I ask a question?
Yeah.
In Tchiyat HaMetim, the person has different, the Neshama has Gilgulim, right?
So a person can have, for example, coming to the world, I don't know, 3, 4, 5 times.
So again,
so which body?
So again, that's wait, so one second. So no. That's a term that comes up very often in Kabbalah.
Uh-huh. Yes.
It's not one of the 13 tenets of our belief. There is a lot in Kabbalah that's discussed, mm-hmm. but it's not. It's connected, but it's not connected.
We don't believe in that. We believe that.
It's not one of the 13 fundamental priests. Yes, there is on print such a concept as a Gilgul. The Rambam never writes about it. The Ramban, Nachmanides never writes about it. Kabbalah, all Kabbalah. It's full of Kabbalahs.
The Ramban doesn't.
Yeah. The Ramban doesn't write about it.
Can I ask a question?
Sure.
Because I was thinking a lot of some of the same things. And the other piece, I guess, I was thinking about is I thought that there's however many souls were there at the Neshamot at the mm-hmm. time of Sinai. That was like the finite number of Jewish souls. But that's not actually the number of Jewish people
that exist.
So how do you match a Neshama to a body?
It's a good question. Mm-hmm. The Chazal say that every, like you said, every soul existed at Har Sinai. Mm-hmm. So you want to know how that works. Right. So it's really a discussion of reincarnation, how reincarnation works. I'm not equipped to answer exactly how that works. The one thing I can tell you is that there are different understandings exactly how reincarnation works, what we call a Gilgul, or what we call, there are different terms that it's used by. But it doesn't exist, in the classic Jewish literature, does not exist. In Kabbalah, it's discussed very heavily. The Ari, for example, speaks about it at length. There are discussions about it, but it doesn't exist as part of the fundamental structure and how we understand what's going to happen in this world and the next world. That's not to say it doesn't exist. I can't speak to it well enough to answer the question. I would like to point out two difficulties that I have in the position of the Rambam that I do not have answers to. I've actually discussed this question with some giants in Torah over the last number of weeks. I saw Rabbi Schneer Lyman the other day. I had a long discussion with him about it. He said he has the same difficulty and problem. I talked to Rabbi Lapiansky about it, some of the other Rosh Yeshiva, who also struggle with the two questions that I'm about to raise. But I think for intellectual honesty, I think it's important to put them on the table. The first question is, according to the Rambam, if there is a perfect world that we call Olam Haba, the next world that exists post this world. I mean, it's post-mortem, the sun called Olam Haba, that the Rambam describes as being the perfect world. It's pristine, it's clear, there's total understanding, perfection, the soul is in a close connection with God. It's something that the Rambam says David HaMelech waited for, anticipated for. So why is there a need for anything else after that? Well, that's perfect. That's where everything is. Why does there have to be a Tchiyas HaMeisim, a resurrection? Why does there have to be an Olam Haba that we discussed in the world of the Rambam? Why does there have to be something much, much later? Why does the world have to go back through this entire chronology of events to reach the final end of Olam Haba? The one suggestion that I had, which some didn't want to agree with me, but the way I understood it is that there is perfection for man, and then there's perfection for the world. It's true that the soul finds perfection in Olam Haba, post-mortem. The soul finds perfection, but it's only on a particular level. That means the entire world didn't reach a state of perfection. That means that individual has reached a state of perfection because that individual has reached Olam Haba and revels in the joy of being close to the Shekhinah, close to God. But at the same time, the world as it exists is not the way it's supposed to be. Therefore, there needs to be a Tchiyas HaMeisim. The body has to come back to this world to reconnect with the soul. And then there's going to be the ultimate Olam Haba, which is the end of days.
Is that the Olam HaEmes?
What you refer to as the Olam HaEmes, the world of truth, refers to what it's referred to in Kabbalah as the Olam HaNeshamos, the world of souls, which is what the Rambam is talking about. What I'm asking is, if everything is perfectly clear and everything as you define it as Emes is truth and clarity, so then why should there be something after that? So my suggestion is that there's a difference between perfection for man and perfection for the world. The world needs to be perfected, and that can only happen at the end. Another difficulty that I had, that again...
What would be the difference between the world and man perfection? I don't
understand
the difference. That
means God created a world to be a perfect place. God created this world to be perfect. Now, after this world it's not complete. It can't be complete. There has to be Mashiach, there has to be Tchias HaMeisim, and there has to be Olam Haba. The total perfection as God sees the world, and as the Ramban described to us, is at the end of days, all the way at the end. That's what we're all waiting for. It's Olam Haba, the next world. That's what we anticipate, that's what we wait for. So it's true that a particular soul reaches the Olam Haba of the next world, but the entire world still did not reach a state of perfection. So in order to reach that state of perfection, we need there to be a resurrection. And post-resurrection, we need there to be a future, what we call Olam Haba. That's my understanding, to the best that my capabilities.
It should be universal.
That's what I'm suggesting.
That's what I'm suggesting. For everyone, for the whole world.
That's what I'm suggesting.
Yeah, and to go through all the processes.
That's right.
It was the Navi Ishaya describes as that the Zev will, that the, you know, the wild will be in peace with them.
Yeah, the entire, there'll be perfection.
There will be harmony.
The next difficulty out of the Rambam, and again, I asked this to some great Talmidei Chacham and scholars, and I also, as of now, do not have a resolution, but again, I think it's an important academic question. The Rambam, as I mentioned, has 13 principles of faith, 13 tenets. If you're not familiar with those, by the way, it's a good thing to... It's at the end of your siddur, the 13 principles of faith, which the Rambam penned. There is a kind of striking omission. Our first class, we talked about Yemos Mashiach. Second class, we talked about Tchias HaMeisim. The Rambam has independent tenets of belief. Yemos Mashiach, every Jew has to believe that the Messiah will come. Every Jew has to believe that there's going to be a resurrection of the dead. The next step should be that there's going to be an Olam Haba. Mm-hmm. That there's going to be an end of the world. There's going to be an end of days. The Rambam omits that. The Rambam does not have as a basic tenet of belief, of our belief system, included in that list. There's only one God, there are not two gods. I believe that all the words of the prophets are true. I believe that everything that Moshe Rabbeinu said is true. I believe that God is first and not last. I believe that you only pray to God and to nobody else. So the Rambam doesn't have as a basic tenet Olam Haba. And that's kind of surprising why that's the case.
But he didn't write. Oh,
so here's a possible solution or a resolution to the difficulty. Now, if you're discussing that there's going to be a world of perfection in what we call the tangible world of Olam Haba, so the Rambam never talks about that explicitly. Now, he doesn't talk about it in his book, the Yad HaChazaka, but he does talk about it in his introduction to Parak Chelek in Maseches Sanhedrin, and there is a very lengthy discussion that says, after Yemos HaMashiach, there's going to be Tchias HaMeisim. After Tchias HaMeisim, there's going to be Olam Haba. And the Rambam is very willing to talk about Olam Haba, although he admits, I can't tell you, just like he does here, what it's going to look like, what it's going to be. But the Rambam says that there is something called Olam Haba. So if the Rambam understands that there's an Olam Haba, so he should, I would have thought, mention that as one of the tenets of our belief should be Olam Haba, and it's a striking omission. I leave that question unanswered. The only possible solution that I do have to the problem is that in the 11th of the Rambam's 13 tenets of belief, he does refer to reward and punishment and uses the word Olam Haba. So what the Rambam does seem to indicate is that there is going to be the Olam Haba that he himself refers to post-mortem, which is the world of souls, and the soul will be punished, the soul will be rewarded, based upon the way that one acts in this world. That's what the Rambam discusses. Now, although the Rambam does pen and articulate that there is going to be a world of souls, and in the world of souls will be reward and punishment, he still doesn't give it its own tenet. He doesn't give it its own section, its own statement. He says there's reward and punishment, that's going to be in the next world in Olam Haba. So it's still kind of surprising to me that the Rambam doesn't give it its own section, its own belief, and that question I also leave to be resolved. Hashem should help us. I want to point out a few other aspects that I think are important relating to Olam Haba, and that's as follows. We talk, and you read the words of the Rambam, it seems very apparent that Olam Haba is what we wait for. Olam Haba is why we are here. This world is only a way station to get to the next world. The Gemara says, Maseches Erevin, Misha tarach be'erev Shabbos yochel b'Shabbos. Somebody prepares on Friday for Shabbos, will eat on Shabbos. If you didn't prepare food Friday afternoon, you're not going to have anything to eat on Shabbos, right? That's what the Gemara says. Then the Gemara further says that Olam Hazeh is a tracklin, is a way station, or it's a gateway, it's a corridor to Olam Haba, to the next world. Now, philosophically, it's very important to understand how we deal with this world vis-a-vis the next and what we're doing here. We have to understand that it's not just that we're here in order to get to Olam Haba, because an individual who thinks only in that way can simply squander and not give enough credence to this world. Mm-hmm. Now, the reason we do mitzvos, yes, there are reasons why we do mitzvos. There are reasons why we don't do negative commandments. Now, we want to get reward and we don't want to be punished. But that's not the only reason we do it. We don't simply do something in this world because we want to get reward in the next world. That's true, but it's not the only reason that we do it. We believe, fundamentally, Jewish belief and Jewish theology is that there's pleasure in this world, that we enjoy this world. The mitzvot that we perform are supposed to be enjoyable. They're supposed to be wonderful. We're supposed to enjoy what we're doing. We don't keep Shabbos because you're going to get rewarded in the next world only. Yes, we believe if you keep Shabbos, you'll be rewarded. If you don't do what you're not supposed to do, there'll be some level of punishment. But that's not why we don't do what we're doing. I recently had a conversation with somebody, and I sort of tried to help them explain that don't do something because you're scared that you're going to be punished. That's not Jewish philosophy. That's Christian. We don't not do things because we're scared that we're going to get hit, that there's going to be there's going to be an electric shock, or that something's going to take place to us, or that post 120 we're not going to be in the place that we're supposed to be. It's true. That is a fact, that there is reward and that there's punishment. You do the right thing, you're going to be rewarded. You do the wrong thing, you're going to be punished. But don't do mitzvos in this world because of punishment. That's not our objective. Mitzvos are done because that's what God says to do, and we want to fulfill God's will. That's what Hashem describes to us, that Hashem says is the right thing to do. Same way a parent tells a child, son, daughter, don't cross the street without a mommy or without a daddy. So that's dangerous. You're going to be punished if you go on the street without a mommy and daddy, and you're going to be safe if you stay where you're supposed to do. But the child has to understand that I'm not just doing it because there's a punishment, there's a reward, because parent says something, you do what your parent says. Now, we could talk about understanding it, we could talk about how to explain it, what to do, what not to do, but there has to be a more real relationship. A relationship that's based upon reward and punishment is not a real relationship. The relationship that we have with God has to be based upon love. Yes, there's fear also, but they're two halves of the same coin. But we're not doing what we're supposed to be doing in this world because of Olam Haba and because of what's supposed to be coming. We believe in it. That's a fact. There's schar and there's onesh. But we're not doing things that we're supposed to do, or we're staying away from things that we're not supposed to do because of that alone. I think it's a very, very important point. It's a point that often gets confused, and some have become misguided with this, but it is important to state that yes, there's Olam Haba, and we want to reach Olam Haba, but we can't just be finished on the goal. There has to be some level of pleasure, of enjoyment, of beauty in the mitzvah observance, in the keeping of the halachos, in deceasing and not deceasing from doing the things that we're not supposed to be doing. And that's also an important understanding as to how to understand Olam Hazeh and Olam Haba. There's a basic question that the Rambam, the Ramban, and other Rishonim deal with, and that's a similar question that we asked last week. And if Olam Haba is such a basic element and such a basic tenet, a belief, and where we're headed, so why does the Torah never reveal to us anything about Olam Haba? Now, that in and of itself is a good question, a fair question, but I'm going to strengthen the question and ask the question the way that the Rishonim asked the question. If you read the Torah, and if you read the curses and admonishments, and you read the blessings that exist in the Torah, and I'll refer to three. I'll refer to Parshas Bichukosai, I'll refer to Parshas Kisavo, and I'll refer to Parshas Ekev. Parshas Kisavo and Parshas Bichukosai, where we read about reward and punishment, it's where God tells the Jewish people, if you do what you're supposed to do, you'll be rewarded. If you don't do what you're not supposed to do, you'll be punished. That's what it says in Parshas Kisavo. That's what it says in Parshas Bichukosai. We recite the Shema every day. In the second chapter of Shema, Hashem tells and says, "V'haya im shemoa tishma mitzvosai." If you listen to what I tell you, Asher nochi mitzavcha yom le'avos Hashem l'keich malu chalav kol nashkam, I will give you mitarb artzechem bito. I'll give you rain when it's supposed to come. Yoreu malkosh asafta deganecha v'siroshka mitzvacha. Agriculturally, you will be supported. You will be successful. I will give you plant life. I will give you. The animals will be tended to. You'll have everything you need. You'll have all the bounty that you desire. If you don't do what you're supposed to do, or if you cease from doing the things that you're supposed to do, you will see famine, you will see starvation, you will see bad things. V'chara af Hashem b'chem. Hashem's anger will resonate, will exist, will come alive. V'atzer ha-shamayim, and the heavens will stop giving rain. V'lo yeh matar, v'adam lo sita nesivula, and the ground will not give its bounty. V'avaretem mehera me'alaretz ha-tov asher Hashem nosen lachem, and the world will become destroyed. Ramban, Rabbeinu Bachaye, all ask, why is it that the Torah explains and executes reward and punishment in terms of this world and not in terms of the next world? If the purpose of this world is to achieve and to gain some level of connection with God in the next world, so it should say, if you do what you're supposed to do, you'll reach Olam Haba. If you don't do what you're not supposed to do, you won't reach Olam Haba. Why do all the parshios in the Torah discussing reward and punishment only deal with reward and punishment in this world and not deal with the reward and punishment that is supposed to exist, that we're talking to, that's a fundamental of our belief? So on the one hand, Olam Haba doesn't exist in the Torah. Just like we discussed last week, Tchiyas HaMeisim, resurrection, is not written about in the Torah. In the Nevi'im, we saw some stories we discussed. But why does the Torah not give us a clearer picture and explain more clearly what is going to be afterlife? There's a Clay Yucker, one of the classic commentaries on the Torah, a student of the Maralmi Prague, in Parshas Bichukosai.
I'll explain.
Okay. Collects seven opinions of the Rishonim to answer this question. So the source that I'm using is the Clay Yucker, and he collects the opinion of the Rambam, he collects the opinion of the Ravid, he collects the opinion of Rabbeinu Bachaye, opinion of Ibn Ezra. And he has seven positions, or seven answers, to deal with this question. Clearly, the fact that the Rishonim were bothered by this question means it's a serious question. It's a philosophical question we have to grapple with, we have to understand. And I'm going to share with you three, for the sake of time, but three important ones that I think fit with the discussion that we've been having the last number of weeks. The first answer to this question is the Rambam. Maimonides postulates and understands that the reason that the Torah never describes reward and punishment vis-a-vis the next world is because the reward and punishment that we are given in this world is supposed to help us achieve the next world. So that's to say that if God gives us rain and water and agriculture, we'll be satisfied physically, our needs will be taken care of, and then as a byproduct, we will be able to reach the next world. And philosophically, this is very important for us to understand that part of the physical bounty that we have and the fact that we prosper and succeed and are able to do well, we should use that physical bounty in order to secure the next world. That means we have what we need. We're supposed to be careful about what we need. We have and we're taken care of. God gives us those things in order that we could successfully deal with the spiritual side of things. So we have to take care of the physical, but as a result, we also have to be able to take care of the spiritual as well. That's the Rambam's position. It's not that the Torah doesn't want to talk about and not write these things, but the Torah is speaking about how man can better attain next world by attaining and achieving and doing good in this world. It's the Rambam's approach. The Ibn Ezra, the classic Torah commentary, explains that the Torah was written for all man. That means that every individual can open up a book. A 2-year-old, a 3-year-old, a 4-year-old can open up a pasuk in Chumash, an 8-year-old and a 9-year-old can open up the same book in Chumash, and everybody can take something out of it. Therefore, the Ibn Ezra says that the Torah only writes things that are understandable, that are clear, that are able to be understood by every single individual. Olam Haba is something that is beyond. It's something that's difficult to explain, to describe, to talk about, and to write. And as a result, if the Torah would have written about Olam Haba, some would understand, some wouldn't understand, and that wouldn't be fair. Every Jew should have the ability to tap into and to understand and to glean from the Torah. Therefore, the Ibn Ezra says that's why the Torah never writes about Olam Haba. Rabbeinu Bachaye, also a classic Torah commentary, his answer that the Clay Yucker shares with us in Parshas Bichukosai is also fits in line with something we mentioned last week. He says that everything about reward and punishment that's written in the Torah is beyond our comprehension. How can it be that if man does good, it's going to rain, and if man doesn't do good, it's not going to rain? That's something that's majestic, that's magical, that's miraculous, that's beyond our comprehension. It's not something that we could explain. A meteorologist can't explain that it's raining because the Jews did good and it's not raining because the Jews didn't good. There would be no meteorologist. Eric would be out of a job, right? So the Torah tells us things that are majestic and miraculous that are beyond our comprehension. Says the Rabbeinu Bachayi, Olam Haba is something tiv'i. It's something that's natural. It means that we can't understand it. We can't describe it, but the Torah is not describing the natural because it's a natural course of events. It doesn't have to be written. The same way the beauty and the miracle of birth, a child is brought into this world from nothing, and if that's something that's incredible and that's awesome, but it's natural, what we call natural, mm-hmm. The next world is also a natural step. The same way we can't explain necessarily, or somebody who's pre this world cannot fathom that there's going to be a next world. We as man also can't imagine, fathom that there's going to be a next world. But it's something that's natural. It's the next step in the succession and the stages of chronology and history where we're headed. Therefore, Rabbeinu Bachayi says that Olam Haba is not discussed and not mentioned in the Torah because it's a davar tivi. It's something that's natural, that something's going to happen automatically. And the Torah in the reward and the punishments for Parshas Kisavo only explains those things which are above and beyond. I would suggest, if you have time, to take a look at that Klei Yakar and the Parshas Bechukosai, who sums up another four opinions. But those are the three suggestions of the Rambam, the Ibn Ezra, and Rabbeinu Bachayi. I'd just like to close with really defining two terms that we haven't defined, and that's Gan Eden and Gehenna. Those are two words that we also use very regularly. Gan Eden is the Garden of Eden. Gehenna is some purgatory of sorts, that, for lack of a better word. But where do those words fit in with Olam Hazeh, Olam Haba, Yimos HaMashiach, and Tchias HaMesem? So based upon what we described in the world of the Rambam, The Rambam's world of Olam Haba, of the next world, that's Gan Eden. Those two things are the same. Post-mortem and the world of the Neshamos, as the Mekubalim call it, is Gan Eden. That's the next world that the Rambam describes at great length at his introduction to Perek Chelek, where he says it's a world of perfection, as the Rambam explains here. Gehenna is the opposite. Gehenna is a step in order to allow the soul to reach perfection in Gan Eden, and that is something that has to take place. What Gehenna is, what takes place, so it's discussed in the Gemara, and then the Masechta Shabbos deals with it, but it's some form of perfection of the soul that has to take place prior to the soul entering Gan Eden. That's part of the reason that Kaddish is a very big part of a person being able to, what we call, raise the neshama, because the neshama has to leave Gehenna and to go to Gan Eden. We mentioned before, and I'll only mention for this reason, the concept of a Gilgal, the concept of reincarnation, how to deal with that in light of Gehenna is also a big discussion. Because if there's something called Gehenna, which is supposed to reach a state of perfection, to reach the Gan Eden, how does Gilgal work with that? That's a question we're going to have to leave for next time. But I think in terms of concluding this course and this series...
Isn't the next time?
What? No, there'll be another. They have to leave things for the future. It'll be a nice time. Right. But I think what we should all take out of these 3 weeks is we should be inspired. I think I gave a lot of food for thought. I don't think that there are, as I mentioned, and I'm open about it, there are a lot of questions. There are a lot of things that we don't understand. But the Rambam himself says, nobody saw Olam Haba. It's Ayin Lo Rasa. But at the end of the day, the purpose, really, what I felt in discussing these topics is to allow us to recognize that Olam Hazeh is not where it's all at. There's something else, and we have to sort of tap into that. And that's what the Rambam, as I think I tried answering your question, why Tchias HaMesim is one of the Yud Gimel Ikrim, why Yimos HaMashiach is one of the Yud Gimel Ikrim, why the Rambam goes to great length for two chapters in Hilchas Tshuva to discuss Olam Haba, is supposed to be an inspiration for us to realize that this is not the end all and the be all. Olam Hazeh is difficult, there are challenges, there are trials and tribulations that we all deal with, there are challenges that we all deal with, there's a lack of perfection, personally, collectively, we don't find ourselves in a state of perfection, and that's really the reason that we reach, wait, and we reach, and we hope that there's going to be a better world. The Shmon Esrei is, 2/3 of the Shmon Esrei talks about Yemos HaMashiach, and looking and waiting. I hope that we're all inspired to daven a better Maariv, a better Mincha, because of this, and we should recognize that there is something else, there is going to be something else, and Hashem should help us all, that we see this speedily in our days.
Thank you very much.